Eureka! You found us! Welcome to the Check Out California Radio Show, your key to California hospitality. Hosted by Rad Gantos, principal of Rad Gantos & Associates, a hospitality and commercial real estate design firm, and Craig Sullivan, executive vice president of ParkWest GC, a hospitality and commercial real estate general contractor. Check Out California is focused on our state's hospitality, travel, and tourism markets, and on the large part they play in California's vibrant and innovative economic diversity and unique quality of life. Now, here are your hosts, Rad Gantos and Craig Sullivan.
Good afternoon. I'm Craig Sullivan.
And I'm Rad Gantos.
And this is Check Out California. Welcome. We've got a guest this afternoon, Mr. Nilesh Patel, Director of IT for the Four Seasons Resort on Lanai. Aloha, Nilesh. How are you, my friend?
Fantastic. Aloha, brother. How you doing?
Yeah, what's not to be fantastic? You're sitting on a private island in the middle of the Pacific. I mean,
and it's probably 80 degrees, and I know the water's crystal clear blue.
Oh, it's 80 degrees? Man, that's a chill.
They'll have to bring out a long-sleeve T-shirt. So, anyhow, Nilesh, you're an innovative hospitality IT leader with over 20 years of hospitality experience, over 15 years directing IT operations, strategy, infrastructure for a diverse hospitality companies, including food and beverage operations, strong technical background, and on and on and on. You and I have been friends for 20 plus years at this point.
Yeah, we celebrate a lot of, anniversaries of our first meeting.
Milestones.
Is that how you guys are referring to them now? Anniversaries?
Why are a lot of these... that says 20 years, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Well, I was going to say, why if they are anniversaries, is a lot of this content redacted with black lines?
Because we don't post anything socially.
No.
At least nothing that'd get either one of us in trouble.
Freedom of Information Act request, please.
So how's the Four Seasons today, my friend?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, couldn't ask for a better environment to be in. I don't know if you guys saw, but we were voted by U.S. News and World Resort last year as the best hotel and the best resort in the U.S.
Congratulations. That is wonderful.
Fantastic. Anybody who's been there or has any idea would understand why, too. But
yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's a special, special hotel and a very special
location. Yeah, especially since our renovation in 2016. I mean, the designs that we have here and the layout that we have, and I mean, our ownership has been just really generous in terms of our gardens. And I mean, it is a pretty stunning hotel.
The rooms are amazing.
I have never seen before. So
there's been a lot of description given by both of you, but for those who have no clue about the property and are listening into this show, why don't we give them a little bit more definition? Can you give a little synopsis about the property? What makes it so unique?
Oh, absolutely. So we are a private island, essentially, that's 98% owned by one person, and that is Mr. Larry Ellison. He's the founder and chairman of the board for Oracle. I think he's number 6 or 7 in terms of the wealthiest man in the world. So in 2012, he purchased what was originally a pineapple plantation. It was the Dole pineapple plantation up until about, I think the last pineapple crop came out in the 1992. And from that point on, it basically became a resort island. Four Seasons came onto this island in 2002 to take over management of the two hotels that were here. And then in 2012, David Murdoch, who owned a company called Castle & Cook, which was running the island, sold the entire asset to Larry Ellison. So, and then Larry Ellison is now putting in infrastructure and redesigning. We spent $275 million on the Four Seasons Manelli. And we're spending a good amount of money on the Four Seasons Coeli, which is going to become a wellness resort, which opens at the end of this year.
Very nice.
Yeah. Very so, nice. As a Four Seasons, we like to call it Lanai by Four Seasons. So we are an island that only has two resorts on it, one of which is closed right now. So it is very exclusive, and we actually run all the activities on the island as well. So it's not that, you know, you get here and it's, you're at the resort, and then if you want to do other things, you're outside of the resort environment.
Versus the other way, which is how most hotels are referred to. It's a Four Seasons and Lanai. This is, you're saying Lanai by Four Seasons. I like it.
I've seen the pictures of the renovation. I haven't been on the property since it's been renovated, and it looks absolutely amazing.
How long have you been there?
It's actually just coming up on a year in June, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Congratulations.
It hasn't gotten old yet?
I don't imagine that hotel would ever get old.
I'm picking on him because I remember when he made the move, it was like, you know, other than, you know, like confetti and fanfare, it was like the opening scene from The Love Boat, you know, him getting on a plane to go out there. And then the landing, I'm sure, was like Fantasy Island, right? I mean, it was just,
It is.
The plane.
We do have, you know, when you see the planes that do land at our airport here, you know, we are serviced by Hawaiian, but not by any major size airplanes. So.
No.
Yeah, so you do have to take a puddle humper.
Not to state the obvious, right? It's an island in the middle of the Pacific, you know, balmy weather, nice tropical breezes. But what made you make the move? What was the interest for you to make the move?
So, it really came down to what Four Seasons culture is all about. When I had kind of a couple of different things when I was looking to make a move away from consulting into kind of more of a corporate structured environment. And to have worked in hospitality for as long as I did and worked with brands across the board from, you know, Marriott's all the way down to, Choice Hotels, I think Four Seasons was just one of those things that the ultra-luxury sector had just been something that I had never done before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really attractive. And then as you take, you know, you kind of interview with Four Seasons, we have a very, very different interview process than any other interview process I've ever been through. So it just felt like it was a very, very good fit for me. And, the company is growing. We're slated to have 3 or 4 more hotels coming on this year. And, you know, the locations are just fabulous. So in terms of opportunity, it is a company that allows moving fairly easily once you are established in the company. So,
yeah, an amazing, amazing corporate culture. They've always had it, and the training and the constant growth of the people that are part of that corporate structure is just phenomenal. It's like legendary, I would say, even in the industry.
So oh yeah,
I can totally understand why you made that move.
Oh yeah, it was a perfect move for him. You know, you've worked coast to coast. You were on another island in Florida for a little while. Came back home, and now he's on another island. This time out in the Pacific. So. Yeah, it's.
I want to grow up and be him.
I think a lot of our friends do. So yeah, absolutely. Hey, Nilesh, with your background in technology, how's it relating to your ultra luxury hospitality digs now? What are you doing? What are you seeing on the horizon there?
Before you answer, let me just add another element to this, especially given the fact I think you're absolutely well positioned because you're on a friggin island that is a destination that is exclusive.
Unto its own, yeah.
It's exclusive, that is very highbrow, very ultra luxury, and we're talking about technology. So
right.
How do you in a world where it is everything is technology, everything is inundated, everything is wired, everything is being on the grid, everything is being in contact. If I'm waiting for a friggin' bathroom to go into a friggin' bathroom and have, you know, like multiple screens around me like I'm in a studio. And I mean, where, how do you draw the line? And especially in, huh? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a selfie. No, oh, God. Why did I even go there? Right?
Yeah, you can't unring that.
You guys are
we're, thank you.
Yeah, no. So, but I mean, where, what is that discussion like at that level of hospitality in the combination of technology seamlessly into the delivery of that experience?
Well, I think that's kind of the key, right? Is that there's all kinds of technology out there, and there's a lot of it that's exciting from a technology standpoint. But how do you seamlessly integrate it into a hospitality environment, mm-hmm. and at the same time make it, you know, simple to use and cutting edge, but also subtle? You know, and that's a key for what we do here. Is that the technology in the guest rooms is very prominent, but it's not in your face. So, for example, you know, and everything these days, the lines between what was traditionally engineering versus IT are being blurred, mm-hmm. you know, every single day. You know, so our department crosses lines to handle our air conditioning systems because they're all computer connected.
Right.
The blinds in the room are all connected. We use a Lutron lighting system that mm-hmm. is connected. So, you know, and all of these programs and elements are preset. So when we check in a guest, the environmental control is automatically set. The shades go up to a particular setting, and the lights go to a particular setting. So when the guest walks into the room, it's set to the way that we want the environment to be.
Would you and just to echo that, the recent project that I was overseeing locally here for the Bourbon Steak at the Monarch Beach in Dana Point, and that was so critical. Like when somebody says, well, it's just lighting, to actually have it dialed in, to have it built into the operation manual of how you're going to deliver that guest experience for a restaurant that is open at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to do exactly. it subtly where it's not, you know, every corner has a hanging light fixture in it.
Right.
And to have it choreographed almost and setting the stage and for that experience is phenomenal. I'm curious, your job title is director of technology, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that a relatively new job title for the industry because of the extent of technology that's now involved in that?
Yeah. Four Seasons made the move to do that, I want to say about 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, where they took and they realized that, you know, they saw that where Four Seasons is different. You know, we're going to jump around a little bit here, but where Four Seasons is very different is that we have a very forward-thinking view in terms of the technology. So mm-hmm. we, unlike other brands, we like to be a little bit more bleeding edge, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. we'll put things like, actually every single one of our rooms here have iPads in them, mm-hmm. Which are locked down, but it basically become the guest compendium. So
mm-hmm. right.
you can actually order in-room dining right from your iPad that's in the room. But that's the kind of thing that, you know, has been part of our brand for more years than, you know, like say Marriott's are looking at it now.
Right.
So, you know, seeing how all this stuff is coming, the director of IT title, was something that the brand decided for, especially on the resort side, that, hey, we are going to have to have technology, experts at the hotel to understand what we need to have happen from an operational standpoint. And that's also another difference is that, you know, we actually do want people that have a hotel lens as opposed to just a technology lens.
Right,
so
yeah.
it's why, again, it was a very, very good fit for me because it is a commitment to both things, not just one or the other.
Now, you're getting a big wow factor at that hotel on a lot of different levels. Now, with the technology and, you know, the reward system and everybody puts their personal preferences and data in that, you must have a pretty seamless blending of knowing, you know, from one department to the next, what a particular guest wants and how you're going to enhance their stay at your resort, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Want to pontificate on that at all?
I have to be very, very careful here because this gets into a little bit of...
Don't go on, Dave.
You don't have to divulge anything that, you know, no. to protect the guilty or innocent, yeah. whichever way you want to go.
Yeah.
No, but if you know what type of wines I like.
Well, absolutely. And those are the kinds of, you know, pieces of data that when you become a Four Seasons guest...
Not Facebook. We know that.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, we like to collect, and we like to know who our guests are. So the perfect example that we use, we just launched a chat app that we beta tested. Our hotel here was actually one of the beta test hotels, and now it's has been rolled out system wide. And this Four Seasons chat app is one that you can either download onto your phone through the Four Seasons app, or you can use Facebook Messenger. You can use text messaging, but if you're signed up in it, you can text directly or communicate directly with our staff at the hotel. Now, we're, you know, again, this is just another data point where we know who you are. We know what your preferences are. So it could be Mr. Sullivan is sitting by the pool and,
yes.
you know, you want a cheeseburger. You go ahead and you just send a text saying, hey, can I get a cheeseburger? We know that you like a cheeseburger medium rare with bacon and cheddar cheese. And so we just verify that that's what you want and your location, and we'll have it delivered out to you.
So it's an interesting thing I just realized is that, again, you are an island unto your own. So things of this nature, as a test site, if you will, makes perfect sense.
Sense, yeah.
Because you've got a captive audience for what? What's a sort of a typical duration of stay? Would you say?
Our typical stay right now is about 4.5 days.
And what's your occupancy typically?
You know, we tend to keep it minimal. I have to be really careful in sharing those exact numbers.
Right. No worries.
It's Craig. He's asking the questions that you really can't answer.
Our busiest period is you know, what we call our festive season, which is essentially Christmas time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, Craig, you being from Hawaii, know that Christmas time out here is kind of nutty.
Yep.
So
it's beautiful, too.
Yeah, it's absolutely stunning. You know, and we're running at full capacity at that point. But even at that point, this particular resort does not feel crowded. So it's all about that design element that you know that Rad is familiar with. That hey, it's how do you have 400 to 500 people on property, along with, you know, keep in mind that we have 700 employees at this resort. So it's full, but
yeah, you're almost at a 1-to-2 ratio. I mean, and people don't understand that, you know, people that are looking at streamlining, and they use the word, you know, as an encompassing factor, that part of hospitality is being hospitable.
Hospitable, yeah.
And that ratio, I mean, it's really funny. I wonder why hotels don't actually like post that. Like, if I actually wanted to look for a place that basically I'm going to feel like I'm pampered and taken care of, somebody tells me that, you know, the ratio is like 1-to-2 or 1-to-3, and I look at somebody else and it's like a 1-to-1, I'll go, well, I'll go to the 1-to-2, 1-to-3,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It's funny. Yeah, I have a question relevant, again, to the technology that you guys were starting to kind of skirt around and talk about. I've always wondered, what is the ethical approach to basically gathering that information? How do you do that? Is it an opt-in, opt-out? I mean, I don't usually get a chance to actually ask this question to somebody.
Oh, no, it's 100%. And I'm glad you brought this up, because this is actually a big portion of what we do with technology. It is definitely opt-in, opt-out. So if you do not want us to collect any information, we're perfectly fine not doing it.
Yeah.
You know, we collect it on, again, it's a system of trust with Four Seasons, right? So.
Yeah.
It really does help, by the way, that we're a Canadian-based company, and we're governed by Canadian and European laws, which
right.
tend to be a lot stricter.
Stricter,
than
yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Any time that we are subscribing to a piece of technology, because, you know, most of these systems that we have out there are built on third-party platforms.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, it's not very wise for a technology company to go out and start building a lot of its own technology, right? It's just people have tried that model before, and then you end up becoming a technology company instead of a hospitality.
Well, and at the very least, very likely to be at the risk of being obsolete or spending more money to continue to innovate. And in this particular case, if you're not doing it internally, if you're just managing and leading the vision of it internally, then you are able to take advantage of whatever's coming out there that's cutting edge, that applies seamlessly to you. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. But with that comes a set of very, very stringent standards that we abide by as a brand. And so when it comes to what we're allowed to even we lock down so much in terms of how our computers are you know, operate that nobody can load anything that's potentially going to steal any data. We tend to put things cloud-based, and again, cloud-based servers are dedicated to Four Seasons only. We don't use any shared space anywhere around,
mm-hmm.
and they're also in Canadian environments. So again, the laws are a little bit stricter and a lot more stringent as far as what personal information can get out. Now, that's you know, one side of it in terms of how we ethically use data,
mm-hmm.
right? We're never going to use data to market to things that are not particularly ethical. If there's a particular, you know, meaning, you know, if we see a certain pattern that says that, okay, well, you have this particular preference and you like to stay at these kind of hotels and mm-hmm. you're opted into our marketing, we're obviously going to tailor some specific types of marketing to you as a guest.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to feel very intrusive, and it's actually going to be very, very personalized. In fact, you're more likely, you know, the way, again, we like to add a lot of human element to this. So if there's a certain marketing, you know, component, there's going to be a human that reaches out. It's not going to be some kind of form email that you get.
And that's always been the cut above with your company, with everybody else.
So,
it is that human touch.
So what new ways? Because, I mean, I just had another show earlier, and we were talking about how email blast basically and reaching out through the sort of that platform and medium is gotten to the point where it's like so much inundation that basically things just end up in a junk, right? So what, again, because we don't usually have an opportunity to add this ultra luxury kind of component, to talk about this, what are some of the things that are being used that maybe are not as common knowledge to convey that that contact, to establish and reconnect and enrich that relationship that is of a nature that seamlessly reflect that ultra luxury? You're sending me an email. I get emails from everybody, right?
Right.
Everybody?
Mortgage companies that I don't, somebody wants to sell me SEO out of Manila. I get all kinds of emails from people. So a lot of that stuff, guess what, is automatically goes in the junk. And I know it's Four Seasons, and I know that they're a credible entity, but if Four Seasons sends me stuff, A, when I'm not really wanting to read it, what are some of the things that are maybe more innovative these days in a world where we're so inundated to get people's attentions and to reflect and reemphasize that luxury brand personality?
So it comes really back to kind of that we want to communicate with our guests in the way that they want to be communicated with, right? So it's adding these additional components that that our guests are opting into, and these new technologies that our guests are opting into. Like the Messenger app is actually, I kind of just glossed over that. But mm-hmm. if you think about it, right, the old way of sitting at a poolside, or even at, let's say, your in-room dining, and going through a compendium and a menu to see what the available options are, and then picking up the phone and calling and putting in saying I want this and that without this, and then having somebody repeat your order back, all that to you. We're now saying we can take that option away and just say that you want this and that, and we'll have it delivered to you based on knowing your preferences. So the communication kind of works in the same way, knowing who you are and how you like to be communicated with. If you are a person that prefers to get an email from the general manager who you've met at a manager's cocktail, then guess what? That's what you're going to get, and he's going to reach out to you on a regular basis. If you're a guest that likes to have a handwritten note, then we're going to do that. So we're not going to, there's not a magic component out there that everybody likes to communicate with. It's what we've figured out is that we have so many options now that it's kind of going back the other way to say, let's bring the human element back
to it. Yeah.
How do you want to be communicated with? And that's how we're going to communicate.
You could not have answered that question any better.
Yeah.
Because that is exactly where I was trying to go with this, is that in a world of technology where we basically embrace the technology and make everybody around us fit into the platform of convenience for us to communicate, what gets lost in the process is that personalized one-on-one that is almost like flippantly used as a cliche these days. Oh, it's a one-on-one customer experience. Oh, it's a one-on-one, attention thing. And it's like, oh, it's not one-on-one if you're making every single person that's staying in those 300 rooms basically fit your mold and not vice versa.
And that's one of the differentiators with Four Seasons, one of the many things that they do so very, very well. So, Alesh, where do IT departments fit in with hotel ops, and especially in remote locations now? I mean, you've got to be touching almost every department, with guest services, your check-in, at the airport, with a boat, everything that's going on there.
Yep, we actually, we're one of the few departments now that, we have our hands in every single department. There's not one department that I think that, there's not one department that we don't touch in terms of some kind of technology, whether that's, even the radio systems now have started to fall more under IT departments because they're being more data driven versus actual radio. We're overlaying other things besides just voice. So, it's having to, where IT departments best fit in terms of properties like this is, again, being a partner to the operation as opposed to being an entity in and of itself. Mm-hmm. So whereas traditional accounting departments have a role of, being the control and the cash handling side of things, and it used to be that IT was there mainly as a support department, right, that we're here to unjam printers and fix computers, and that's still a component of what we do, but now
change toner cartridges.
Yeah, exactly. And so what we said is like, hey, you know what? This is basic common knowledge. You should know how to change your own toner cartridges.
Wow. IT department's getting a little snippety.
I think I struck a nerve there.
You know, you can change your own. We don't do Windows. Oh, wait, maybe you do. Never mind.
Well, but see that, and that's getting to that level now, because what we are doing is we're providing support at a little bit of a higher level, right? To say that, okay, we're now deploying systems that are more forward looking, and where our job is to be proactively checking all of those to make sure that the hotel communications are up and running in an efficient manner. So if that means that, you know, that the basic stuff can be done by departments that now, and again, as the workforce gets younger and younger, it's very easy to start doing those kind of things. I mean, I remember the days when it was like I had to give training classes on how to use Outlook and what email was, and people were still, you know, photocopying memos and leaving it on everybody's desk. Okay, guys. So we've come a long way.
But that's an interesting point, because instinctively the younger generation that's now moving into those positions already has that ingrained into their DNA.
Yeah.
So speaking of DNA, our DNA is that we take a break. So we're going to take a break and come back, but stick around.
We'll be back in a couple of minutes, and let's talk about that forward thing.
Go enjoy the view, or, you know, get yourself a drink or something. I don't know. I can't believe he's calling from an island. Like, I mean, you know.
I love it.
Seriously.
I love it.
We'll be right back.
All right.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3 with triple points on airfare, by 2 with double points on gas and groceries, and a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest. Higher.
Okay, are we back?
We are back.
So a really burning question here in the studio is that, you know, our engineer here, our sidekick, what would you call him, Greg?
The man behind the curtain.
The gatekeeper.
The man behind the curtain.
Wait, who's the keymaster? Never mind.
Gatekeeper,
Paul Roberts, is curious.
How do you get on the island? Is there elevator speech on tourism and the differences of the resort?
Is there a secret handshake? Yeah. You know, is a secret particular color boat that you need to make sure you
have? I have never been to Lanai, and I know virtually nothing about it. I don't know anybody that's ever been to Lanai. We've all been to the other islands. So I don't know what you're all talking as if you've seen it and know it. I've never seen it, and I don't know it. So tell me about Lanai and why this is the ultimate.
So it is. So Lanai'i is the way you get here. We do have two different methodologies of getting here. Well, three actually, depends on you know, how wealthy you are. But we do have daily. I think there's 4 daily flights operated by Hawaiian Airlines that fly from Honolulu to Lanai'i. So it's accessible by plane that way. We do have 5 ferries that leave from Lahaina to Manila Bay. On a daily basis, so you can even do day trips from Maui. It's only a 45-minute ferry ride from Maui. So getting to the island, again, it's a little more difficult. You know, from the West Coast, it's a little easier when you think about the fact that, you know, it's a flight to Honolulu and then, you know, a puddle jumper from there to Lanai'i. But for other, you know, other locations across the mainland, getting to Hawaii is a little bit more difficult. And then, you know, your third option of getting here is obviously private jet or private yacht, but, you know, we'll, I think we're all out of that kind of range. So,
hey, Nilesh, do you have a flight service out of Kahului?
No, we do not yet. We're working on it. Actually, our ownership bought two planes that they have branded now as Lanai Air that we now are using as private transport from Honolulu to Lanai'i, and we're working on the license for Kahului.
And you're saying that there's only two hotels on this whole island right
now? Correct.
Yeah.
So how many people at any given moment, other than the day trippers who come over from Maui, how many people stay there?
In the hotels, we may anywhere from, you know, right now, again, one of them being closed. We have 213 hotel rooms, and our average guest count, let's say, is, you know, two. So at most, you'll end up with about 450 people. Add another 100 from Maui, so at most 500 people right now.
So this is very exclusive. And is there a town there? Are there restaurants and stuff, or is it all just
Lanai
the resorts?
City. Yeah.
Lanai City. There is a town here. We are a town of 3,500. So not huge, but all basically located in the same area. There are a few restaurants up in town, but we are a full-service destination resort. So our resort has, we actually have a Nobu, full Nobu, not like a Nobu Light, you know, but Mr. Ellison is a big fan of Nobu. He owns the Nobu in Malibu and designed our Nobu over here after that one. So if you've ever been to that location.
It's a Nobu Light. That's a new term for me.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize it's a Nobu Light.
I didn't realize there was a Nobu Light.
Well, you know, if the GM did to say a hotel in, you know, downtown L.A. or...
I want to go down to the one in Lido here in Newport. And
let's
basically
go to Lido Village.
I want to ask them, is that a Nobu Light? I mean, did we get a full Nobu or did we get a half?
Some still trying to out with a stick.
I'm still trying to understand. So when I go to a resort in Maui, I've been to resorts in Maui. They're big and they're huge and there's lots of big pools and all that other kind of stuff. What do I see different when I go to the Four Seasons? Is it smaller? Is it more intimate? Is it more like Fantasy Island? I mean, what you all are smiling like I'm an idiot, like everybody knows this. I don't know. I really don't know what I don't
know.
I'm
not commenting.
I don't think I've ever seen him uncomfortable like this.
Yeah, I know. I'm really enjoying this.
I feel like such
a
fool. I don't. You're all talking like this is paradise, and I don't even know anything about it.
No, so we have. It is
paradise.
We don't have the if you look at the market, right? So if you look at Maui as a market. It is a fairly large, kind of resort market, especially like the Wailea area. So if you take a look at the Four Seasons Wailea, it looks very different than our property. Not to say it's good or bad, it's just different. It's going to be more of that Grand Wailea feel, more of the Marriott Ocean Club feel down there. So these big kind of behemoths with these massive pools that overlook the ocean. We don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. Actually, our pools, when we went through our renovation, we made our pool smaller and more integrated into the landscape. So it actually looks like it's part of the island.
The natural topography.
Concrete, yeah. And the thought process is, again, our beach down here is fairly exclusive. It is a public beach. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, who else is down there?
There's
right?
only
right.
so many public on the island here.
Right,
so, yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So we have all this gorgeous environment that it lends to people not wanting to necessarily leave the resort. Now we do offer a lot of different activities that are not necessarily on the resort. We do have also five food and beverage outlets, right? So we have a lunch restaurant at our golf course, which, by the way, we have the best golf course in all of Hawaii. Every single hole has an ocean view.
Are there condos? Do people buy and live there like they do on all the other islands, or is this just that you go visit?
I love that. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah.
We have.
I think he's got a broker's license.
No, every hole has an ocean view. You're on an island.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
I love that though. You know, it's all how you spin it.
So nobody else. I mean, I'm trying to get a picture of who stays. Is this only the uber wealthy here? Is this really the exclusive, the ultimate destination in Hawaii here? That's probably why I've never heard of it. So I'm not on that marketing list.
We are the most exclusive location in all of Hawaii. For sure. We are, if you go onto our website and you look for our best available rate, it's going to start at $1,200 a night. So that'll kind of give you some perspective. And that's
$100 for one night. That's my whole trip budget for the whole thing.
That's why he goes to bars, though.
That doesn't include you getting to the island.
Yeah. No, that's the room rate.
That's just the room rate.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, granted, we don't do, no Four Seasons does any of the plus stuff like resort fees or any of that. So we don't nickel and dime you after that.
I don't have to pay for parking or something? No, there's no parking.
No, right? Not only if you have a submarine, okay, Paul?
So. And do people really bring their yacht? I mean, do they just show up and park their yacht there? Or? I'm just trying to picture this. You're all laughing like you've all seen it. I've never seen this. I'm trying to picture it in my head.
What are you going to take the yacht, or are you going to swim over from the other island? Right?
Yeah. I'm going to swim over from Molokini Crater after a scuba dive. So,
yeah. We get a lot more people that that will bring over their private jets versus necessarily the yachts.
You got to save money somehow.
Yachts, but
I would imagine. I don't think there's a lot of anchorage there. So.
No, it is a marine
preserve.
It is very shallow, and but that's also what kind of makes it great, right? There's no
boats
or any of that we have out here.
What's the scuba diving like over there?
It's pretty fantastic. Again, the marine preserves are great because, you know, the only kind of fishing you can do is spear fishing or reel fishing. You can't do any kind of commercial fishing out here.
Right.
So you got a lot of life out there. And then we have these cathedrals, they're called cathedrals,
yes.
Which are under, you know,
spirals,
lava tubes and all that. So it's pretty epic.
And you still can't get away from the tech side because you've got your dive computer going. So now is that all being downloaded back to the hotel?
Wait a minute. I got to
see what your dive profile is and when
second.
You're going to, you know, come up for air and have lunch ready for you.
At $1,200 a night, somebody else is going to read my dive computer.
Well,
and then in my ear will tell me what I need to know.
I'm sorry. I don't want anybody talking to me while I'm underwater, okay?
if the communication is, you got a surface, you've been down too long, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, that's about the only one.
Yeah, hopefully you're a better scuba diver than that. We don't need to tell you when you're running out of air.
You know what? I will tell you, though, it is when it's that beautiful.
It's mesmerizing.
You question whether
Absolutely.
You should surface or not. I mean, anybody who's ever dove on something like you're describing, when you say cathedrals, that is an unbelievable experience. Yeah. And it occurs in certain places only in the world, but it's phenomenal. It's like literally being at a church.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. Now, before we leave the scuba diving topic, have you met Captain Billy yet?
I'm ready to get a couple of tanks and go.
I have not. I actually have not been over to Maui since for a few weeks. I end up going to Oahu a little bit more just because, island life does wear on you a little bit. Let's just say, you know, again, the 3,500 people thing is great, but at the same time, you do need to kind of get away.
And that's why you go to Honolulu.
To a bigger island.
A bigger island. So.
Yeah. I do need a city every now and then. I had takeout Indian food this last weekend, you know, so it was fantastic.
Was that the Indian restaurant down in Kihei?
No, I went to, I was in Oahu.
On Oahu,
to,
Yeah. How was the Indian food on Oahu?
I'm sorry?
How was the Indian food on Oahu?
Oh, it was pretty good. I mean, again, I think part of it was I haven't had it in a little while, and so maybe a little bit more, you know, like it was just craving some of those flavors, but it was pretty good. I was pretty impressed.
Well, that's good, because I got to tell you, every time I'm over there and I'm sitting at one of the Mexican restaurants, it's like incredibly bland. The only thing that's really good
absolutely.
To be there is the margarita. That's about it.
Spam for carne?
Yeah.
I 100% agree with you on the Mexican food here.
But you guys are all, we're all talking like a bunch of snobs from California, right, originally? So let me ask you then, you guys opened up the food and beverage thing, right?
Yeah.
So what is unique about the food and beverage offerings on the private island?
So again, it's just the level of the type of restaurants that we have, right? And it kind of fits every need that we have at the resort. We do a lot of, you know, our biggest feeder market here is Southern California. So again, knowing what the dietary preferences are, especially when you start talking about a certain clientele, it can't just be the typical Hawaiian food here. So what we offer is, you know, we actually do a lot of produce that we get fresh from this island. We try to keep everything local.
So you're doing farm to table on a regular basis.
Which is where I was going with this, to be honest, is that component. Because I was, when I was in Maui, I was fascinated by a couple of locations. There was like the plantation on the way from the airport in Maui that actually was producing a lot of their stuff. Even the beef was just from over the hill. And so that's what I was hoping for, is to share that with some people that don't understand that there's opportunities in Hawaii, and I would think especially convenience and practicality in your case, is that you have the room that you would be probably producing a whole bunch of stuff that then basically factors into your unique food offering.
We do. So that process was started with one of our restaurants called Malibu Farm. And again, Malibu Farm is a restaurant that is on the Malibu Pier where Mr. Ellison has a home and is a big fan of that restaurant, and so he brought it here. We planted our own garden and that maintain that garden for the produce that goes to Malibu Farm, but Mr. Ellison's idea, again, this is not part of the Four Seasons side of the island, but the he's got a lot of different components on this island.
Sure.
So he's building 100,000 square feet of hydroponic farms, which will be open the middle of next year. So again, we're talking about 35,000 pounds of produce per week that'll be produced. So you get enough to feed the island, to feed the resorts, and then also to do a little bit of export to the outer island markets.
Now, is coffee going to be part of that? Are you going to do a offshoot of Kona Coffee? And do
I don't believe the farm side, they're experimenting with a lot of different things right now. I don't know if the coffee is in their radar or what it would take to do hydroponic coffee. The problem with the typical agriculture on this island has been that the pineapple plantation days really just ruined the ecology of the island.
Right.
And they laid down sheets of plastic tarp to kill all the weeds and all that stuff underneath, and then never lifted them up. And so now when you drive around the island, certain areas
plastic.
where the old pineapple fields are, you can see just layers and layers of black plastic. So, there's not a lot to grow there.
Can I ask one other question? You enticed me. I did go. I'm looking at the website. It's incredible. There's videos and everything. And it says a world beyond compare. What, again, I'm trying to visualize this other beyond just the videos. What would you compare this to? Is this like those private resorts?
I really tried to buy a lodge. I really did.
How would you compare this to? What else would I compare this to? Nothing?
Fiji? Remember that prom date that you had?
No, I'm thinking like read about the Blue Lagoon where they shot the Blue Lagoon movie and wherever that is, Fiji or Tahiti or something here.
Yeah, so the difference is, so there's a lot of private islands out there that can claim that, like in the Caribbean and all that. But we're the unique thing about Lanai is that we're 90,000 acres, 140 square mile island. So compared to the rest of the Hawaiian islands, it may not be that big. But in terms of, you think about the overall population and the number of people per square foot,
and two resorts when the other one's back up and running again, it's magnificent. So
what makes it, again, when we say Lanai by Four Seasons, if you think about, and again, these are fully staffed activities. When I say like Nobu Light, what I mean is, when you think about it, you're not talking about a Nobu in an environment like Honolulu or even Maui where you're getting a lot of outside customers. Right. We're saying that your customer base is based on 213 rooms.
Yeah.
And we're operating a full-service Nobu, right? So, and we do the same thing with a golf course. We have a Nicholas-designed golf course. Now, if we started doing some math, we're saying, okay, well, you have 200 and some odd rooms, and of that, how many percentage play golf, and how many, so, again, how much is the golf course actually being used? Yet we maintain it like it is Pelican.
Right. There you go. So,
well, and you're providing it as a expected amenity.
Yeah,
for the discerning traveler that's going there.
Right, exactly. And so just to, again, quickly blow through the activities, we have our own catamaran. We're going to be adding some more boats, I'm sure, in the future here. Mr. Ellison does love the ocean, and as you know, with the America's Cup team. So,
yeah. Sarah, are they still training there?
Yeah, they do come every now and then.
Okay.
Yeah, we did. I did see him at the end of last year out here, so... we have full ocean sports. We do, we have a full stables. We have something in the neighborhood of 46 horses up there.
Wow.
Yeah. So again, just a complete ranch. And when you go up into the stables, the elevation changes on Lanai are really interesting. We live up in Lanai City, which is at an elevation of 1700 feet, which is where, the stables and all that are. And so you're basically up in the kind of in a little bit of a foggy cloud area with these Cook's Pines and some dry forests, and it feels like you're somewhere in upstate New York while riding a horse.
Nice and cool.
As opposed to Hawaii.
Exactly. And again, IT's touching everything there. So you've got, the restaurant is running out of kale or something else that you're growing there, and then, the orders are coming in, and storage is not an issue, I'm guessing, and whatever does have to be imported is in regular shipments based on occupants.
So here's a sort of an interesting question, okay? What is for you the most preferred gadget or IT component
from what you living on that island that you use that maybe you did not use before?
That's an interesting question.
A CB radio.
Well, that's why I'm asking. Like, is it the CB radio and the Jeep? I mean, what is the tech? What is it?
No, we're not. Okay, hold on. We cell phone service is pretty good around here.
Yeah, I would imagine there's enough repeaters there.
This is Craig asking the question. Okay, I mean, you know, he just been back 50 years. He's thinking he's in a red Ferrari driving around with a very tight pair of shorts, right?
I mean, no, not me.
Yeah. So you know,
I'm in the helicopter.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It's not really a technology component, but the one thing about Lanai that is a little different than the rest of the islands is that 60% of our roads are not paved.
Right.
And so we're now talking about, and a lot of the cool things that you want to go see are in these areas where you have to go off-road to go see. On top of that, we are a hunting island as well. We do have more, I think we have, at last count, something in the neighborhood of 13,000 axis deer on this island.
Wow.
And they have no natural predators. So, by the way, you were talking about product. We get venison. You know,
I'll bet.
We have a whole US FDA set up for our land management teams when they go out there and they.
So
hunt,
do you actually do they actually have recreational hunting?
Yeah.
Wow.
We have an archery and shooting range that we manage.
So is the deer hunting there by bow?
You can do it by bow, or you can do it by rifle. But there are in order to hunt year round on Lanai, you have to be a resident of Lanai, and obviously go through the permitting process.
Right.
And then there are certain areas that the 2% of the island that is state owned does follow the state of Hawaii hunting seasons.
Oh, fascinating.
That is fascinating.
So you didn't answer my question. So what is it? What is it?
The four-wheel drive vehicle. I'm a California guy that was driving a Prius, and now I have an off-road vehicle.
I got a Jeep.
It eats up a lot of gas.
What's gas going for a liter over there
on the island, right?
Yeah, I don't think you have to say anything else.
$1,200 a gallon, right? Yeah.
So I guess, you know, in that four-wheel drive vehicle, the technology bit of it would be like the things like the GPS and all that, because you don't, you know, you're not on traditional paved roads, and so you do need to understand wayfinding a little bit more and knowing where you are a little bit more.
But you're telling me that you've got a very rustic setting, a very exclusive setting, and yet you started the conversation by saying you're using a lot of technology to manage it and monitor it. So it must not feel technological when you're there. It just must be, as Rod's always talking about, sort of receded into the background here. It's part of the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually have a fleet of, because again, it's not like you're going to find a taxi service or Uber or any of that on this island, right? So, and you're not really going to bring your own car to this island because the ferry is not a car ferry. So what you end up, you know, when you're a guest of the island and you actually want to go exploring, we actually have a fleet of 40 Jeeps. You know, and again, being Four Seasons, they're not just typical Jeeps. These are, you know, uber nice. And we have software in them that lets us track where they are at all times so that we know, like, if when a guest gets stuck somewhere, you know, in the mud.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, okay, we know where you are. You can send the tow truck to come get you.
There you go.
And is this all inclusive? So if I go there for the and rent a room, do I have to? Are these all upcharges to go horseback riding and go on the catamaran and go all these other things, or is this all part of the experience? You just say, "This is what I want to do today."
No, we do have certain packages like that do include certain activities. Like, we have a package called Love Lanai, which is a little bit more expensive than just the rate, but it includes every activity except for spa that you would that you want to do as many times as you want to do it.
So you can customize your own trip there.
Yeah,
basically.
Or you customize your itinerary as to, you know, what you want to do. Do you want to go play golf every day if you're a golfer, or do you want to just go experience the golf course and then, you know, spend the rest of your time in the spa? You know, we will create these itineraries for you. So we, you know, again, the room rate being what it is, we also do have a pretty significant ancillary spend as well. So,
and what is the one piece of technology that you cannot do without as a property out there? It could be internet. It could be very basic technology. It could be, what is the number one? Yeah.
Yeah, it's really connectivity and internet. I mean, if we think about it, right? I have to cover 12 miles essentially of area, and how do we cover that without having and be responsive and know what's going on without having connectivity?
So your network is the island, basically.
Yeah. We have fiber connections through. You know, granted, they're leased out from Spectrum, but you know, there are fiber connections that head up and down the hill, up and down to our both resorts.
Both
and then
resorts,
we also have undersea cable that goes from here to Honolulu that provides our bandwidth. We actually have better bandwidth than hotels in Seattle.
Seattle, that's funny. And so that's going to be one of the differentiators between Four Seasons and the other brands, is you guys being able to do that, plus having a tech-savvy owner. But, you know, what's the big difference, you'd say, between Four Seasons versus the other brands when it comes to technology?
It's the forward-looking, you know, and it's the we don't want to – we're a brand that doesn't say no. So even to our owners, we don't say no. If our ownership, if somebody in our ownership group, you know, any one of our owners, whether it's, you know, an owner of this property or an owner of another property, goes to the management, because to the management company, to us, and says, I want this, we don't say no. We say, okay, this is how much it's going to cost to make it happen, and this is what the steps are to make it happen, and are we okay as a partner doing that? We also have a lot of technology that makes it secure. We do a lot of things from a security standpoint that I have not seen at any other resort, and how seriously we take it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
with your clientele,
again,
you have to, yeah.
Yeah, so for brand privacy, I mean, there's obviously, you know, like I said, we're very cagey about sharing information for that particular reason. We also have a lot of exclusive guests here that we don't, you know, they're not coming here to be that, they're not part of that Instagram crowd that is going to Instagram every one of their moments. They're like, I'm coming here to get away. And
people are not walking around the island with selfie sticks?
Yeah, no.
you don't have a DJ party going at the pool and, you know,
spring breakers?
Yeah.
All of that?
Yeah, no.
Wow.
None of that happens here.
Somebody tweeted in and wants to know, what's the technology that's coming? What's the new thing that isn't
that's
there yet?
The last question. What does the future of hospitality and technology look like, my friend?
So the future is interesting. We are now going back to this where technology has become more and more part of everyday life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for hospitality, we are a home away from home. So how do we create that home away feeling with your technology? So whether it's, you know, it used to be that, oh, well, we used to have, you remember the days where you used to put a computer in a room as something as a hey, here's a business center in your own room. We don't do those kind of things anymore. People are bringing their own devices,
yeah.
And how do we get those connected? How do we? I have Netflix on my phone, and how do I stream that to my TV seamlessly without having to quote unquote hack into the system or bring my own Fire Stick? Or, you know, I know everyone wants to say Alexa is a big thing, but Alexa is a big privacy issue for us, so I don't think we're ever going to go in that direction.
You know, no, but it's interesting that aspect of the co-branding, if you will, or the true implementation of customer-driven, customized experiences is happening in things like, you know, Uber and Pandora, mm-hmm. Lyft and Spotify, you know, where you literally walk into a car and for the duration of your ride, you're listening to the song that was on your phone now going through the system. I think that is probably, as simple as that sounds and so intuitive as that sounds, that's probably one of the biggest advances in technology application that I have seen in a very long time.
I agree with you. And I also find it very interesting what Nilesh just said about Alexa, is we've got an economy scale brand that's national that is touting putting that in their rooms right now. Mm-hmm. So I found that, you know, very interesting. And I agree with the security concerns. So.
Well, I mean, which are huge.
Yeah, think about the hackability of a device that's always listening in a hotel room.
Right. Oh, I mean, that's a big problem with the Internet of Other Things. I mean, that's why I don't have a lot of stuff in the house all keyed in.
People buy expensive laptops and put a piece of duct tape on the camera. I mean, you know, like that is the world in which we live.
But
I cut out
a little test pattern and I put it over mine. So,
but the world is going to a connected world. So, where you're going to have you're going to have screens on your refrigerators, and they look inside and see what you get at the store, see what's in the refrigerator, what I need to order. So you don't see the properties going that way, where everything is connected, like Craig is saying, the Internet of Things.
It is, you know, to some degree, if you think about it, where we already all are connected in that way, but it's not connected on a smaller scale, right? So we have built, and this goes back to where Four Seasons is different, our standards are very, very tight and secure. And so the security protocols that are in there when we have all of these connected devices are pretty stringent.
Right.
So, you know, again, think about the fact that our blinds and our lighting system is actually technically internet connected.
See, and I love that idea. I really do. Yeah, and, you can set the temperature control. I can have the TV on to, you know, whatever I want when I'm, you know, walking back from the pool. So that's, I think that's great.
I got a couple of baby boomers sitting in the studio here with me, right? I mean,
you're that young.
I'm younger than you.
He's a kid.
Therefore, I'm going to play that card right now. Okay. But no, I mean, the thing that fascinates me about these conversations that we have when it comes to technology, and it's not just limited to this show, right? But it's just in general, right? Is you have this camp that basically is like, it's almost the same approach as I will never be a member of AARP because I just turned 50, but I've grown a certain generation.
Hey, right? I got my card. I'm proud of it.
Okay. Well, Paul isn't. We're still dealing with.
We're still doing intervention
for Paul, right? But the thing about it is, this conversation that we have about privacy, okay, it's a genuinely serious conversation, right? And to the points that we made about other places like Canada and Europe and stuff being more serious about this, right?
Right. Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is this, ladies and gentlemen,
it's also a joke.
We're having a conversation about something that is not valid anymore. We have no privacy on that level.
We gave it all away.
We gave it all away.
Facebook or various other things.
Right.
So, I agree with you on that.
For connectivity, for ease of access.
The only thing you can really do is curate a life that you want people to know about, because otherwise, and you know, that's easier for them to digest and find out about than go dig into your past. But the point is that, and it's a genuine question when it comes to things like hospitality, when it comes to things like, you know, like high-end, top-dollar experiences that you're paying for, where does that line get drawn?
Right.
Is drawing the line and where properties and brands draw the line, in fact, an opportunity to differentiate a product?
Can be.
It absolutely is. That's what, you know, again, that's the big differentiator for how we use data versus how, you know, we don't do things like points. We don't have a points program like every other brand does.
Right.
Because we're not collecting data at that level to reward you by saying, you know, here's free stuff. We're saying we're collecting data to actually use it in the way that you want us to use it.
To customize your experience, not just to sell you something.
Well, I also think your brand is a publicist's dream, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they're booking in one of their clients and you know, from the entertainment world or something else, and you know, they're not worried about that, where all of a sudden somebody's sitting in a room somewhere that all of a sudden that points number got activated and so-and-so is going to be on site on this day, and that all information gets out to paparazzi or something else.
You know, the fascinating thing about Four Seasons, and it's always been the case, and I don't know where that culture comes from, what was the initial like inception of that cultural seed, right? But Four Seasons has always been
Privacy generated.
Exclusive generated.
I love that.
Without being hands off and distant and cold.
Right.
It's warm, it's embracing, but there's a sort of, I don't know if the word respect is applicable here, but there's been an infused
respect. I think respect is a great word. I think that's
respect in how the delivery of hospitality is happening. And that's always been a strength of Four Seasons. There's always leaders in different industries that take that kind of pride.
Yeah.
And even though they grow, the pace that they grow at is important because they want to hold on to that delivery.
Yep.
And Four Seasons has been very successful doing it. I mean, it's just, I can think of one property after the other, everything from selection and partnering with ownership to how the thing is delivered to the internal, you know, corporate structure and training. It's one of those companies that's just genuinely, like you said, it's a dream to work for, to represent, to be involved in.
There's something special when somebody says Four Seasons and, you know, that's probably the only branded hotel where you don't have that buyer's remorse when you get out of the car, you know, whether it's the porte-cochere or the parking lot, and you're walking to the front door. You're excited to walk to that front door. You're excited to get into that hotel and get hit with that wow factor and have that experience.
You leave thinking, when am I coming back?
Yeah, exactly.
And
there's very
right.
few hotels that actually accomplish that. So.
Yeah, and you know, as a brand, this is all. If you ever want to read about where Four Seasons came from, you know, Isidore Sharp, who's the founder, has got a great book about the founding of Four Seasons.
It is a great book. So, hey, my friend, we got to wrap it up. We got a new segment we're going to launch on the show today. But I did want to say, next, plan a trip over here. You've got two places to stay. You can stay at the beach at my house, or we did do a mock-up room in the warehouse at my office. So it'll be like being in a select
you're
service
hotel
room.
You're going to take him from an island, put him in a warehouse?
You've always got a place to stay here. So hang in there for a second. And we're going to launch a new segment that Rad and I have been talking about and that Paul's been pushing for. We're calling it the Hotel Turndown, and this is in reference to what's happening in the hospitality sector, of course, here in California. But we're going to do one that's a little bit larger to start out with. The Grand Hyatt up in San Francisco sells. Host Hotels and Resorts agrees to buy the 668-key Grand Hyatt San Francisco as part of a $1 billion portfolio that also included the 301-room Andaz on Maui in the Wailea Resort area, and the 454-room Hyatt Regency Coconut Point Resort in Bonita Springs, Florida.
A lot of activity
so
in the industry.
$1 billion. Yep. So let's go from that to Park West General Contractors is wrapping up the renovation and conversion of the Ramada Plaza in the Anaheim Resort area to a Wyndham Garden Hotel. And it looks really, really nice. It's been a lot of fun doing that. Now, for just staying kind of the geeky world, hospitality business around Anaheim is preparing for the surge of tourists upon completion of Disneyland's Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. The 14-acre land is the largest single-themed expansion ever built at the park. The billion-dollar project is expected to be completed by summer of 2019. El Segundo AC Hotel starts it's under construction. Welcome Group, Inc., 180-key AC Hotel in El Segundo. It's a Marriott family project, site just south of Los Angeles International Airport. So we've got a lot going on here.
I want to give a shout-out when you have a chance, Greg, to some more local and something that I've been involved in and is now up and running.
Do it now.
Right. So
do it now.
Turn down Orange County, South County, my neck of the woods. The Monarch Beach Resort Bourbon Steak by Mina Group is now open.
Very nice.
And it is definitely an experience not to be missed. Get on that property and check it out. There's been a lot of developments and improvements. New pool deck, you know, and it's getting busier and busier. It's going to be a really great spot for South County this summer, as they really get that property all dialed in operationally with new amenities and stuff added on. But definitely check out Bourbon Steak and make sure you make a reservation, because that place is only open at night and you definitely want to get in there, try their signature drinks.
Very cool. Then one more turn down, and that is Diamond Rock Hospitality acquired the 77-key Landing Tahoe Resort and Spa for a mere $42 million. That's almost $545,500 a key.
That's amazing for the Tahoe market. Boy, is that place
now,
hot.
Now, that also made TripAdvisor's award top 20 hotels in the U.S. So that's a spectacular sale for a single asset.
If anybody out there that listens to the show or any of our guests that we've been on, and if there's anything that you would like to share, this new segment, the Hotel Turndown that we are adding to the Check Out California show, is how we're going to end some of these shows. If we have some worthy information to pass on, we will have a hotel turndown moment.
Send it to us at our email address, you brokers, you lenders, you owners. You know, if you've just had your hotel renovated or repositioned, we certainly want to talk to you and have you on the show as well. And you can send that to checkoutcalifornia@gmail.com, or you can always call Paul in the studio, and he's glad to take messages.
You can also send us send us information. If there's any links and stuff like that, on occasion we will share everything from Visit California page to Anaheim Visitors Bureau and stuff on the Facebook page for Check Out California. We're really trying to make this platform be something that is exciting, interesting, and it's what's going on. It is the show called Check Out California, and our premise is it is your key to California hospitality. So share that information. We'll get it out there.
Absolutely. And if we're going to have a little contest here. We're going to give away this exclusive Park West General Contractors T-shirt.
What's the thread count on this?
That's like 5,000.
Wow. Yeah,
so it's really luxurious. So if you email us or call the studio or text or email the studio and give us the name of a guest, we have them on board, we will send you this shirt. So my friend Nilesh Patel at the Four Seasons, thank you for making time to join us today. And again, you've always got a place to stay in California when you come back.
And if Greg won't put
it is reciprocal on Lanai. I mean, even if you do don't want to pay the rate for the Four Seasons, I have a 2-bedroom house, so you are more than welcome.
I'm coming soon. I'm trying to get out there in July, brother.
All right, we'll see you then.
Thanks for joining us today.
Take care.
Take care.
Okay. Bye.
All right, bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for being our guest today on Check Out California. We look forward to having you as a guest with us again in 2 weeks. Until then, you can always reach us through our Check Out California Facebook page or by emailing us at checkoutcalifornia@gmail.com. We love hearing from you, so do let us know what you think of the show and what areas of interest you'd like to see us cover in the future. Your feedback is very important to us as we continue to bring you the best hospitality our Golden State has to offer. Until next time, may all your days be filled with sunsets and palm trees. Now, go experience and check out California.